Today on The Grave Talks, we continue our conversation about what's really haunting the old Gooding TB Hospital with Jennifer Ward of Western Idaho Paranormal. What do you think is going on there? And I would think it have something to do with it being a hospital. I would imagine during that time there would have been quite a bit of death and sadness and despair. You know, because I think emotions also leave an imprint from a person. You know, you kind of pick up on that energy. It's like if you were to walk in a room and everybody in the room just got really bad news, you walk in and you look around and you're like, what's the matter? It's that sort of thing. Like you pick up on it.
I'm not sure. So a lot of people say like limestone or moving water or anything that can kind of bring up energy. I want to say that there is limestone somewhere in the building.
It kind of looks like the building is limestone, but it's not.
Yeah, I think the bases are something of that nature. I don't remember. I have to look back through. I have stacks of stuff that I've investigated over the years trying to figure out this place because the history of it kind of disappears a little bit.
Interesting.
Like, we don't have records of doctors. We only have one record of one doctor.
There'd have to have been more.
Yeah, and so it's just it's a little frustrating with that. I think it's just the energy that's wrapped around it. It's such a sad building. It has such a interesting but sad history. You know, for the first little while of tuberculosis, you had people going there knowing that they're probably not going to leave.
Yeah, there was no cure.
Yeah, so you had people going there all from all over. Like, a lot of the records show people coming from like all over Idaho to come to this particular tuberculosis hospital from the medical journals that they had. And it's kind of just people being like, I know that I'm probably not going to leave. And that sadness and that weight that they carry with them probably almost created like, I don't know, a sense of entrapment. But that seems kind of worse.
It's kind of like COVID, you know, from modern times. You know, these people were put someplace and they couldn't have access to their loved ones. And it would have been even worse then. You couldn't have picked up a phone or you couldn't have done a FaceTime or anything. You were isolated.
Yeah. So I think that's the main thing. We've gotten some weird stuff on the actual grounds itself, too. So I want to say it's just the grounds themselves. Like, everything is probably wrapped in this almost bubble of sadness that they can't really break from.
Well, don't you also think, I don't know, this is a little bit morbid, but it's historical. And I would think they would have had to bury those who passed somewhere and they wouldn't have taken them very far away.
Yeah.
I would think there'd be a cemetery on site or at least mass grave on site.
Maybe. We've looked into that a few times, but where the other two buildings used to be, there's now like a Family Dollar, another hospital, a Maverick even, and like a road going through. So we would have, at least for me personally, I would have assumed when they're digging up all this stuff to put in buildings, they would have found something.
You would think, because that would have, I would think if they found anything, that would have had to stop everything.
Yeah. And it's not. There's places built on that now. The land that she's on, I want to say it's like 4 or 5 acres. So it's a pretty big chunk of area that she has. And like, there's a Basque Center next to her. There's an actual Gooding Museum in the back behind her. I've even asked them, I'm like, well, when you were building or scraping up the earth, did you find anything? Because a lot of it's leveled out. Like, they've removed the hills that they were set upon. And they're like, no, we didn't find anything. And I was like, well, the building probably wouldn't have been built if you guys found anything.
Right. Or it shouldn't have been. They should have made it known.
Yeah. So if there was, it must be on the land that she still owns. which would make sense because of the building being there and everything. But I don't know. I've looked at medical journals that were published, and a lot of times they said that they, if they lived out of Gooding, they would send them back home. But part of me doesn't really believe that either, because I'm like, why would you send a body home that has tuberculosis?
I'm with you.
Highly contagious.
Because that sounds good, but back then, too, they wouldn't have known if that body was no longer contagious. They would have just assumed that person had it, and they would have disposed, I would think, of the body immediately.
Yeah. I don't think they would put that much money or effort into moving a body. Maybe, but, or the family members did, but. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Wow. So what kind of activity do you pick up on there besides like the dada thing, which really was great? That's one of the best EVPs I've ever heard.
I said, it was one of the best ones I've heard. It's amazing. We get a lot of EVPs. We get a lot of cat balls moving, which... cat balls are so underrated. I always tell people, if you really want to ever investigate something and you're not sure where to get start, just use the recorder on your phone and some cat balls. And that's about it. And you're good. Like, the cat balls are the easiest tool in the toolbox. For people who don't know what cat balls are, they're like these tiny little light up balls that when you move them, they light up. We'll set them everywhere, all over this building. They'll move out of nowhere, or we'll be sitting and we'll be like, hey, can you move the cat ball for us? And it'll light up. Mm. And none of us have shifted or moved. And we're very careful to make sure we're not contaminating the area at the very least. There's so many videos of me recently too. When we went on our retreat in April at Gooding, we live streamed it. Because we thought, why not? It's fun. Like, people can come and join us. Or, you know, if they hear something that we don't hear, they can timestamp it for us and we can go back later and listen to it. There's a video of me, I think it's like 20 minutes, of me trying to debunk these cat balls that kept going off randomly. Because we just had so many weird instances happening. We have stuff move all the time. We have shadow figures that move around. We have... we've had the owner's children tell us that they've seen stuff or seen apparitions.
Oh, I bet they have.
Yeah, and it's so interesting, like, when you're talking to them, because they live there. So you're like, please don't be scared, first of all.
Right, and you also don't want to feed into their fear, so you don't want to be really sharing too much. But then at the same time, what are you doing here today, Jennifer? Oh, yeah. We're looking for ghosts again where you live. You know what I mean? You want to be kind of gentle with that information. But I think kids get it. And I remember when I was a kid, despite the fact that I lived in a haunted house, I was always checking out the books at the library about ghost stories. And I was fascinated, drawn to it and away from it at the same time, if that makes sense. I was scared of it, but drawn to it. I still am. I'm still like that.
Oh, yeah. I grew up when Ghost Hunters started. I grew up when, you know, Ghost Whisperer was on TV with Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I grew up in that. Like, that was stuff that my mom and I thoroughly enjoyed watching. Like, we would make Ghost Hunter nights where we'd sit down and watch Jason and Grant and go and investigate these cool spots. And so it's really hard because some of the kids there... they want to join us. And they're so sweet. Like, especially one. She is so sweet. And for a while, we had her join us. And it was really fun. But we also had to remind ourselves, like, she's not a teen yet. She's a little younger. And where do we draw the line of, this is scaring you, we need to stop, or you're just having fun? It was a very hard conversation because a lot of us have kids on the team. I think me and one other team member are the youngest of the team. So a lot of them have a little bit older kids. We had a genuine conversation one night because I was like, I don't want to keep scaring her because I'm afraid that she won't want to live here.
Right. I get and, that.
Like, even for, like, for our group in particular, when we do public investigations, we allow as young as 10. But it's only if the parent reaches out to us and lets us know, hey, my kid is super interested in it. I will be with them the entire time. Can we buy a ticket and go? And 9 times out of 10, we'll say, yeah, sure. Please be with them at all times. Know the risks. Know what's going to happen. But with that particular one, we make sure that they leave by midnight. Like, hey, you cannot stay. We do not want you to get so freaked out that you just leave in the middle of the night because you can't stay here, you know, and enjoy yourself and investigate more. So we put a cap on certain things. We let people know, hey, this is an active location. We've had a multitude of different things. Please, please use your judgment as a parent on whether you want your kid to be here or not.
I think with her living there too, I think with kids, I think this goes back to where I lived as a kid. It was nice to have it validated because as a child, you internalize all of that and everything's your fault, or you have to go to the things that you've heard, like, well, obviously I'm crazy. I'm hearing footsteps walking around at night and I don't know what that is, or that faucet just turned on by itself and what is it? It's me. You know what I mean? You kind of have this. And so I think it does help them at the same time to be validated and say, hey, we hear those things too. And we're here to try to figure out what it is or make some sense of it. We enjoy like looking into it for you. I think that helps her in a way too, to have a sense of a team rather than she's just on her own and it's happening to her. It's like, oh, these people, and they're adults. They would know.
Yeah. And the cool part about our team is something that I forgot to bring up. We're a nonprofit and our primary thing that we do is we go to families' homes and try to help them be comfortable in their home. So we get messages constantly of like, hey, I'm having paranormal phenomenon in my home. My kids don't feel safe in my house. I don't know what to do. Can you please come out and investigate for us? And we do. We'll go out on like a Friday or a Saturday, go out and investigate the home for as long as they want us to. And if we find something, we go back and say, hey, we found this. What would you like us to do now? And if we don't find something, then we say, hey, we didn't find anything this round. That can happen. Would you like us to come back out? And there's been homes that we've gone out 5 or 6 times and we've caught stuff. And there's another home that we recently did where we've gone out twice and we found stuff every single time. But the first time we went out, the kid was deathly scared. And we said, hey, we'll go out. We'll do everything in our power to help you. And our tech guy, who's amazing, he's a very nice guy. He pretty much gave the spirit the business. He's like, stop scaring the kid. It's not okay. It's their house, not yours. If I have to keep coming back, it's not going to be pleasant. And pretty much like set the rule of like, you get out or I'm going to make you get out.
I think that talking like that is very powerful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Don't you?
Oh, yeah. And thankfully, after that initial visit, the activity decreased exponentially. And then the next time we showed up, it was because activity had shifted to a different room for the other kid. So we're like, okay, got to go back. Got to give him the business. And we go and we find out through trying different things, they don't want to talk to women. So me and another investigator were like, okay, well, I guess we'll go sit in the garage because they wouldn't engage with us. And then one of the male investigators went up and he had a K2 meter, which is just a meter that has lights above it. And it supposedly reacts to electromagnetic fields. So like your phone or light switch can make it go off. So a lot of times during an investigation, we don't have our phones on us. He was asking questions and the K2 would just start going off randomly to certain questions.
But not all the time.
Yeah, not all the time, just only specific questions. And so we found out through asking questions that it was supposedly a family friend who was just trying to make sure that the kids were okay. So we said, hey,
Oh,
listen,
and
we
just
don't
happened
want.
to be sexist.
Yeah, just happened to be sexist, you know, the usuals. But we let them know, hey, just be nice. We want you to not scare the kids. And if we have to come back, we're probably going to cleanse the house, so you got to go. So you got two choices. You can either calm it down, just watch the kids from afar, or you can keep doing what you're doing, and then we're going to show up again, and you're not going to like us.
Yeah.
And we haven't heard from the family since. We do
That's
check
good.
in, like about at a year, we'll check in and be like, hey, are you doing okay? Do you need anything? And when I checked in with this particular family, she said that they were doing great. Everything was fine. They were still having a few things here and there, but it was nothing too crazy. And she could handle what it was going on because it was mostly in her room and she didn't care. So I was like, okay, as long as you don't care, we're good.
I'd still be
So.
put. I don't want anything in my room. That's where you go to be quiet and sleep and calm. It's like, especially if it's some family friend. No, you don't get to be in here. What would you kind of advice would you give to someone who's listening who might be experiencing things at their house and they don't know what to do about it? Because I do think reaching out to a paranormal team, but not every team's going to be good at helping them. But what kind of advice would you give them?
So I do this with my kid. So if you feel like something is in your space, like for instance your bedroom or your house, I always tell people that the power of voice is very strong. So all you have to do is just tell them like, "Hey, you're not welcome. You have to get out." And kind of use a force behind it. Like reclaim your space.
Yeah.
If you want to reach out, please do. Make sure to check the team to see if they actually do it. Some teams will not do it. They don't feel comfortable going to people's homes. Us in particular, we do, and we do a thorough background check on everyone.
Well, you need to
So,
rule out some things too, like mental illness or.
yeah. And you have to, we always tell people too, like, you have to judge it on what's going on. Like, if it just started up randomly as you start a new medication, you might want to talk to your
Right.
doctor and figure out the
And
medication.
read the side effects. You can just Google that right now.
If it's something that's been happening since you've moved into the house or before you moved into a particular house, but it ramped up as you moved in, then yeah, you need to either look into a team or do it yourself. Like, when I first moved into the place that I'm in now, I grabbed pots and pans with my kiddo. And we went around to every room and we like banged pots and pans and said, whoever's here to hurt us is not welcome. You can't be here. And like, even now, there are some times where she'll, like, I'm a paranormal investigator. I try very,
Oh,
very hard not to bring anything home.
yeah.
But even the best of us sometimes slip up and accidentally do. And there have been times where things have shown up at the house. My kiddo will come to me and tell me, like, I see a monster. I'm like, then you tell that monster he's not welcome and he needs to go away. She goes, got it. And she'll like take off.
That's
And
really good
you'll.
advice for a lot of things when it comes to kids. It's like claim your space.
Yeah. And so they'll take down the hallway and you'll hear her yell, go away, monster. You're not welcome. Or like, go away. It's my room or something of that nature, which is something I try very, very hard with her in particular, because I do this. It's not a living, but I do this on the side, and I try very, very hard to not bring something home. But you slip up, and sometimes it happens. So I always teach her, like, hey, you tell them to go away. It's your space. You reclaim it. Like, tell them to screw off. I don't know.
When you
Like,
have slipped up, and I'm using air quotes there because, you know, it wasn't like you intentionally, it's like, I'm bringing something home with me tonight. But it's like, did something happen? Like you got home and was like, whoa, what was that? Oh, crap.
I screwed up. And it was during a retreat. I take my daughter with me sometimes because she loves playing with the little kid there. And I don't mind. Like, you go play, you go have fun, do you. And it also gives me a chance to talk with people and them see her, because we don't really do a lot of big events where we bring families around.
Yeah.
I go home and I forget to say, hey, you have to stay here. You're not welcome to follow me home. And I forget. I'm loading her in the car. I'm trying to make sure everything's good. I'm saying goodbye to some of my team members. You know, the typical 2-year-old wants to play in the rocks. I'm trying to get her to not play in the rocks. I load her up and I go home and I drive home, drop her off for the night. About 3 nights later, as I get back home from the retreat, I start to notice weird things going on, like my daughter being really scared of certain things in her room, like certain areas of her room. Or one night I'm sitting there and her monitor goes off for movement. I'm like, oh, okay, that's weird. And I look and I see like a black outline of a figure in the corner of her room.
Oh.
And I was like, that's not good. I need to get this out instantly. Like, I don't think much of it. I'm like, nope, that's not welcome. We need to get this out. So then the next day,
I picked her up and ran out of the house. But you're so much braver than me.
Because when I saw it, I was like, okay, and it was like 2 in the morning. So I was like, I got 2 options. I can either go grab her and disrupt her, which means disrupting the whole house, or I can just watch her. So I watched the camera for a while. Thankfully, the shadow disappeared. And once it did, I walked into her room, picked her up, shifted her to my room. I was like, you're staying with me. After that, I was like, okay, the next day, I was like, we're not playing this game. So I went up to her room. I cleansed her room. I was like, hey, you got to get out. You're not welcome. I don't know what made you think you were welcome, but you're not. You stay away from my kid. Cleansed her room. And then I cleansed the whole upstairs, and then I cleansed the downstairs to make sure, just to get everything out.
Right.
And I thought we were good, because I was like, cool, I set a boundary, you know, I did everything I normally do. And then 3 nights later, it happened again. I see movement, I see the shadow, and I was like, okay, we're not doing this. So I go grab her and bring her back to my room. And the next day, thankfully, was a weekend. So I was like, all right, kiddo, here's some pots and pans. We're going to tell this thing to go away.
And she thinks it's a game. This is just funny because get to be loud and stomp through the house.
Yep. And that's what we did. We stomped through the house and banged pots and pans and told them to go away. We opened up all the windows. And as we finished up the room, we closed that window and closed that door, moved on to the next one. And after that, we stopped having anything going on. And like, my mom has passed, so every once in a blue moon, like, I'll smell her perfume and I'm like, oh, you're good, don't worry, so come to find out that later on I asked another investigator of mine, like, hey, something really weird happened, and I told her, and she goes, that happened to me too, they terrorized my teen. And I'm like, no way, really? She goes, yep, same thing. I came to Gooding, I did something, I left without telling him, you can't follow me. Her kid's about 17, and he said that he was laying in his room, and he heard like a growl in his ear. And it was from something, because the next morning he walks out and tells his mom, hey, I think you brought something home from Gooding.
Oh, interesting. Because this is what happened.
And they did the same thing. So it's weird, like, we've never, in our whole time of dealing with Gooding, we've never brought anything back from Gooding. So I personally don't think it's actually something that was attached to Gooding.
Oh.
I think they saw that we were bringing kids up and they got curious. So they attached themselves to there to see what was going on. Because I've dealt with Gooding so much, and it's always the same group of spirits that we get, the same grouping of names. And they're always very much of like, I'll only deal with you sometimes. I don't really want to go go home with you. I'm not interested. I like it here. So I don't know fully. I don't think it's fully from actually Gooding. I think it was something that was just curious about us or curious about the paranormal investigators that show up or something.
Well, and I do think this whole story is a good public service announcement for people. When you do go anyplace, like I don't do paranormal investigations, but I love to go into what I know are haunted locations and take the history tour even, or, you know, there's just so many places we all like to go. I think it's really important when you leave to have that conversation, because it's just like in real life, you put up boundaries with people. Certain people, they can only come so far in because, you know, I cannot deal with that person. So I can only handle them at this, at arm's length. And you know it, so you put up the boundary.
Mm-hmm.
You think it's the same in that situation? It's like, no, I'm not letting you in. You're not healthy for me. This is not good. You stay. You can't come. I think it's really important. And I think people don't give that enough credibility, that whole concept.
Yeah. And every time we do a public investigation, one of the first things in my little speech that I always give, the typical like safety speech, is if you don't want it to come with home with you, you tell them, hey, you're not welcome at my house. You're not welcome to follow me home. You have to stay here. But in the same space, don't take anything.
Yeah.
That's my main thing. Like, if you want to go and investigate your little heart out, do it. Do it ethically, first of all. Don't break into buildings. Don't do crazy stuff. Go in there. Ask people, hey, I really want to investigate. Do you mind? But also don't take anything, because you might end up with something you don't want following you home.
Right. And don't you think, too, with people who are interested in doing something like this, like join in your group to go investigate at the Gooding Hospital, joining a group in their own community, then they can learn from people who know how to do it rather than going in and watching a TV show and poking the bear, so to speak, to get some kind of reaction. You know, I think doing it with someone who's ethical and they know what they're doing is really powerful, and you can learn a lot.
Yeah, and we have like other teams out here in Idaho. One of the really cool spots in Idaho that's actually in like the Treasure Valley is the Idaho Penitentiary, the old Idaho Penitentiary.
I did an episode on that.
It's so cool. Yeah. It's a wonderful location. I actually investigated there before I joined my old team with a different one. It was a lot of fun, and it can be a little loud, I guess is the right term, because it's a prison. You know, it's this big area that people can be able to talk through. So it kind of reverberates and echoes. But it's a really cool location to walk around. Like, in the middle of the day, stuff can happen there. I've heard so many stories from team members of them going there and having experiences. I've had a few experiences myself there. So if you want to, there's always people out there that can do something cool and that can show you the proper way. But if you want to do it by yourself, because I get it, times are tough, you don't want to spend however much it is to go on this investigation, and I respect that, but do it ethically. Don't do it if someone says no, don't go behind their back and do it. Like, be smart. I always tell people, a recorder on your phone is the best thing to do. You can walk around a space, ask little questions to yourself, keep the recorder close by, and explain, like, hey, you know, I'm doing that, like, into your recorder, be like, just mini investigation at this location. You know, you'll hear other people, and you just walk around. You never know what you can pick up just from walking around and talking out loud or something of that nature in a supposedly haunted location.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted to talk to you about some other locations, but I've taken up plenty of your time, and I appreciate that. So Jennifer, would you come back and we could talk about those other locations another day?
Definitely, because we're about to open up public location of public investigations for those two locations.
Oh, awesome.
So I am so excited to get back in there. We haven't been back in there since 2023.
Oh.
So I am so ready to get back into those two locations.
When do you go? Because the other locations that we were talking about was Indian Creek Museum and the Nampa Depot.
Nampa Train Depot. Yep.
Which is an adorable building.
It is. And we just got approval a few weeks ago to start opening up and doing public investigations through there. So I'm hoping... This is like my little ghosty heart hoping, but I'm hoping we can get in there just ourselves. I'm hoping by the end of the month that we can get in there.
That'd be great. I would love to hear about that.
Oh, yeah. And then I hope, because we have a public investigation coming up on October 31st at Gooding. So I'm really hoping that after that's done, that they'll let us start doing public investigations in the Train Depot and the Indian Creek Museum.
Okay, so, I'm going to touch base with you because I wanted to talk about them today, but let's make them their own episode.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm so excited to get back in there. I don't think you understand how,
I can tell.
How excited.
I love it so much. Is the best place to get information on your Facebook page, Western Idaho Paranormal?
Yeah, or our website. It's WIDPARA, widpara.com. Definitely those two spots.
You know what? I will put links on the show notes for both of those spots, and people can easily find you then. Yeah. Jennifer, thank you so much. What a great conversation. Okay. I really appreciate this.
Thank you so much. I was so excited. I'm so sad. Our director was supposed to join us, but he got called into work. So I was really sad, but I'm so stoked. I'm going to have to tell everybody about this. I know they're going to be so excited.
And your director can join us on the next one. How about that?
I'll have to make sure he has that day off. I'll like hound him to make sure he can join.
We can make sure we set it up on a day he has off. Yeah. And that wraps up our conversation about the Old Gooding TB Hospital with Jennifer Ward of Western Idaho Paranormal. For more information, search Western Idaho Paranormal on Facebook or visit their website at widpara.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes without the commercials, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts. You can try it 3 days free there. Or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you so much for listening.